Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another session of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions. This is number 5. So glad that you're here. So excited wherever you're tuning in. So make sure if you're watching this, let's say on Facebook, LinkedIn, or YouTube, that you also register via the Zoom webinar so you can be a part of the conversation, be a part of the chat. Wherever you're watching this, make sure to just leave some comments, put something in there. Say hello, say where you're coming from, and then also any questions you have as we go through this, these topics, this is about helping you. And I want to start where I always start these training sessions, is sharing why I'm doing them and why I think this is so important. So my personal mission is to facilitate transformation by encouraging and enabling and empowering light bulb moments, helping underdogs win at their game, and then also leaving people better than I found them. And those three things, when I combine those together, go to a bigger mission that I have, which is to empower over 1 million authentic persuaders out there in the world of sales who are focused on being true to them, using who they are and everything that we've been talking about and building up so far and that we're going to cover today, and taking all of that and using that in a way as a sales professional and seeing themselves differently such that they can impact the world, even at the micro level, even in conversations and sales transactions, no matter what you're selling, such that we can all shift the way the world sees salespeople. Because let's be honest, let's call it what it is. Most people don't like salespeople. Sales is a dirty word. A lot of organizations I see and people in sales don't even use the word salesperson or sales in their title. They come up with other things like business development rep or account executive or, you know, enrollment specialist, all of these things to hide the fact that it's actually sales. You're actually persuading somebody and convincing someone to take action. And why is that? Why do we hide that? Because sales is dirty. There's people in our history, in our past, in our current, that have ruined it and given this bad impression. And if we can all band together, if we can create 1 million or more authentic persuaders out there in the world, then we will shift that. Now, if you're new to this, welcome. Welcome to session 5. Super excited you're here. Last week, I recorded the session and we played that as a replay because I was traveling and I had a great time, a great experience at a conference in Denver where I spoke. I got to see some people I have known, some people I have only known virtual, and got to meet them in person. So that's why I was away. And just a heads up, next week, I'm going to do another replay on Friday because I'm going to be on a fun adventure. I'll tell you more when I get back, once I make that adventure and come back. I will share what that is because I'm super excited about that. It's an actual vacation, actual personal adventure, nothing to do with business. So that should be fun. If you want to find out more about what I do, if you do not have a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, make sure to email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I will get you a copy of the book, just cover shipping. I'll sign it. I'll send it to you. I just want to get it in your hands. If you want to look at what I do in any other way, just go to jasoncutter.com. It's my hub for everything going on. So last week, what did I cover? So last week was all about you And this week is the last portion that's about you as well. So if you remember, week one, if you caught that one, session number one, I'm following basically the framework from the book, and it's authentic persuasion. A lot of people come to me and say they want the persuasion part, right? Like they want the persuasion piece, but they don't care about the authentic part, or they just want tactics. They just want strategies. They just want those things that will help them in some way close that deal. What can I say? What can I do? How do I get someone to buy? What kind of strategies can I use? And that's great, but it doesn't matter. And I'll keep saying this because I think it's so important, is that if you have those things, if I give you the best tools in the world and you literally don't know what to do with them, it won't matter. If you don't have the foundation in place, all the tools in the world won't help you. If you don't have the foundation in place and the understanding of golf and how golf works and having a good swing, the best golf clubs in the world will not make a difference in your hands. And what's interesting is that actually substandard golf clubs or mediocre golf clubs in a professional's hands will work much better because they have the fundamentals. The tool matters at a high level, but at some point they will get the job done no matter what tool they have in their hand. That's why I'm focusing on you. That's why these first five sessions are all about you. That's why the first part of the book is about you, because you have to work on your foundation so that you can bring that authentic piece and be an effective sales professional for you and with you and understanding it. That's why last week, session number four, was all about you and your strengths and your weaknesses. So we talked a lot about it. Make sure to check that out. Its replay is available on social media as well as in the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. I'm putting those up there by Monday of the following week. So make sure to check that out. And it was all about you acknowledging your strengths, looking at your strengths, embracing who you are, and what makes you unique and special. Because the thing is, obviously, you've got to use that power in a way that's effective in sales, but being who you are and using your strengths and having conversations with people, with you being you, will always work, right? Always work. When you're authentic and transparent and honest and real about who you are, what you like, what you don't like, then it will always work. And the reason why I can say it will always work is that even if you think something is not effective in sales, if you're honest about it and you know how to sell and close deals, it will always work, right? So even me, my biggest thing, and I mentioned this last week, is that I'm really into spreadsheets and data. As a buyer, I like to have lots of information with no pressure. If I sell that same way, that is okay, but I've got to understand that's not going to be the most effective. So I've got to balance that with, I like facts and figures, but more than anything, I want people like myself to feel safe. And I'm actually going to talk about that a lot next week as we start to dive into them, to consumers, to your prospects, to the actual sales process, right? My goal is to help them feel safe. And so those other things are tools, but fundamentally, I want them to feel safe. So that's going to be next week. Now, this week, what are we talking about? This one is huge. I'm going to tell you this. It's tough because I feel like every week it's a game changer. I feel like every week is the most important session and every session is so critical. Obviously, it all compounds, and keeps building on itself. But here's the thing. This week, what we're going to talk about is leadership. Now, I don't mean leadership as in managers, supervisors, directors, bosses, somebody who is leading salespeople. I'm talking about you, the salesperson who is in charge of and has a leadership role and responsibility within the conversation, within the transaction for your prospects, for those people, right? The key is that you want to embrace your role as a leader, and to be successful in sales, to be a sales professional takes leadership. Now, let's talk about some things first. So what is a leader, right? Versus what is a manager? Well, a leader is somebody, without getting into like a textbook definition, a leader is somebody who inspires and enrolls other people into their mission with a vision of where they want to go to, right? So inspires and enrolls into a mission heading towards a vision. That's, to me, what a leader is. Now, a manager is someone who manages somebody in a task or a process and towards some kind of destination, right? And we can all think of great leaders. We can also think of great managers. We can think of terrible leaders. And I'm sure we can think of terrible managers. We've all had many of those. Here's the biggest thing. Leaders inspire and enroll into a mission heading towards a vision. And that's so important to understand, because the key is that they're inspiring, which means they're getting people to want to be a part of it. And then they're enrolling, which is, I want you to be a part of this, and I want you to be on this journey with me. Sales, when done right, is about enrolling. No matter what you're selling, right? It could be furniture, it could be couches, it could be helping people out of debt, it could be, you know, a software program for a company, it could be consulting services. You're enrolling that person. When it's done right, you're doing that as a leader, and you're enrolling them. One of these, the leadership example, the leadership destination, the definition is pulling. And this is so important. And again, I'll get to why this matters, right? And where this really can impact your sales career and your selling effectiveness at a super high level. The key is that leadership is about pulling. Leaders, good leaders, amazing leaders, inspirational leaders are pulling people into their vision, into their mission. They're enrolling them. They don't have to trick them. They don't have to convince them. They don't have to manipulate them, right? A good, powerful, well-intentioned leader is pulling people along on this adventure that they're going on towards this vision that they have in their mind. Now, of course, you might say, well, not all leaders do that. There's some bad leaders, cult leaders, religious leaders, political leaders. Yes, there's some people, but they're still inspiring and they're still enrolling into a mission to go towards a vision. It's just, where is that vision? Where is that mission? Which way are they heading? Is that the right thing for the people who are following? So that's a technical aside. The key, though, is that leaders pull. Leaders are pulling people into them, with them, and on this mission and journey together. Managers push. Managers push people to do tasks. Managers push tasks and operations and systems and processes to get completed. A manager pushes, a leader pulls. Okay. And if we're talking about organizations, it's necessary to have both, right? So we're not going to talk about actual organizational leadership and management right now. But when I say these definitions, it's also okay. Every organization needs both. There's managers and there's leaders, and there's people in each role, right? You could be a sales manager who is a leader inspiring people and also having the manager processes and tasks and people in that moment. And that's what's necessary, right? Even on the battlefield, there's leading, there's managing, both of those necessary. I have never met somebody who is in a role where it's purely leadership or purely management, right? They can do both. Even a great leader, CEO of an organization, also has to manage stuff, right? Processes. Now, where does this fit in with your sales career and your selling effectiveness? Well, most people in sales view their role and their process and what they're taught or what they've seen or just left on their own to figure out, they feel their job is actually to push people, which means they are a manager. They are managing this sales process, right? And if you've ever heard the advice, which is make sure you have control of your conversation, keep control of your prospect, keep control of the flow. Don't lose control to them. Don't let them ask you questions, because then they'll be in control and you'll lose control. That's very much a management tactic. You do not want people to be in control of you. You have to be in control of them. That's management. That's more leadership, or more management than leadership. And That is what most people do in their sales career. That's how they sell. That's what they focus on, which is managing the process, managing the prospect and the conversation and the flow, right? They're managing this assembly line factory of a conversation and process from here to here. And I've got to just manage it. All I've got to do is if I just manage it, I'm going to win. That is not effective. That is not what works. And that is not what is sustainable, right? Because you can try to manage, but not everyone wants to be managed. It's not effective. We all know that. We've all had managers and it didn't go well, especially if they tried to manage too much and it was too much micromanaging or it was too much pressure on this versus that. And then it doesn't work. That is the classic sales model. The classic sales model is controlling, manipulating, managing, pushing, right? It's all about pushing the prospect across the finish line. How do I use this tactic or this strategy or this closing line or this rebuttal? Or how do I ask this question so I can trap them and move them in this direction so that I can have my way with them so I can push them across the finish line, whether they want to or not, so that I can achieve my goal. Right? Meet my quota, make more money, hit my commission, not get fired, whatever that looks like. Then there's leadership. That is different. Leadership, again, inspiring and enrolling somebody into a mission towards a vision. That's pulling. In my opinion, again, this is just my opinion, my experience based on doing this for a long time and being in organizations, not even sales related, but observing and watching people who are leading versus managing, is that leadership is pulling. It's pulling somebody. When you're being a leader, when you act like a leader and function like a leader and see your role in sales as a leader, then what happens is you're now pulling your prospects. You're pulling people across the finish line. Right? So instead of convincing them, instead of pushing them, instead of tricking them, feeling like you have to manipulate them, what you're doing is you're pulling them, you're inspiring them and enrolling them into a mission headed towards a vision. So with that foundation set, let's talk about more on the sales side, because what I get a lot from people is when they say, yeah, but I'm just selling cars, or I'm selling furniture, or I'm selling this. I'm helping people, again, out of debt, or I'm helping them, whatever it is, right? I'm not doing something that's grandiose with this giant mission and vision. And so I don't have that same thing. Like, I'm not impacting people. I don't have this amazing mission and vision for what I'm doing. But that's where most people just don't understand their true role when it comes to sales and selling people, which is the fact that your job is to take someone from where they are now to where they want to be or could be, and someplace that's better off. It's the same reason I have that as part of my personal mission, which is to leave people better than I found them. Your job in sales, if you're a sales professional who wants to do things for people and help them in a way that benefits them, not just yourself, it can be win-win, but it should be about what benefits them. In that case there, then your job is a leader. Your job is to help them get to a better place, to start here and move here. That is the mission. And your vision for them is success. Some people, it's getting out of pain, right? So if you deal with people who are in debt, or you people who have health issues, like if you work at a gym, some people, they're getting out of pain. They want to avoid pain. They want to get out of a painful situation and shift that. Some people are doing okay, and they just want to achieve something more, something different, right? Maybe they have a car works fine. They want to buy a new car. They want to have a different future. They want to have something different, something bigger. What is it that they want? What's important to them? Why does that matter to them? We're going to cover all that in the future sessions. I don't know which one that one's going to fall under, session eight, somewhere in there. But it's all about helping them get to a better place. What does that look like for them? Now, here is where a lot of people who take this advice and this information, not necessarily applying it the right way. So make sure you do this part, which is the key, which is knowing that your job is to lead them.
Your focus is to lead them. If you want to shift and transform from order taker to quota breaker, then what you've got to do is shift from just hoping they know what they want and trying to pull them as a manager of the transaction, or push them as a manager of the transaction, to becoming a leader and pulling them along towards the finish line, towards the mission and the vision. The key is you've got to understand what that is for them. A lot of times people in sales, what they do is they drink the company Kool-Aid, they read the brochure, they think it's exciting what they're selling, everyone should want, or they get desensitized to the fact that everybody is different and everyone has their different needs and desires and goals and hopes. And what happens is they just treat everyone the same. And they think either everyone should want this thing and they just give the company line. They talk about features. They talk about benefits, right? Facts and figures. They read from the brochure. They give a demo from the slide deck, which is just so boring and gross and not what people are looking for. And they forget the goal as a sales professional, as a leader, is to help that person across their finish line, right? To get to a better place. And so when we're talking about you as a leader, the key difference and the key thing for you to make sure to get straight in your mind as a sales professional, as a leader, is that it's not just your mission and your vision as your company and what you want, but it's how it applies to them. How does that fit in with what they want? What is their mission, that prospective customer? What is their mission? What is their vision? Where do they want to go? And then how does your company line up with that? How does your company's mission, vision, solution, product, service fit in with where they're going? They're going this direction. Is your company going that direction? And can you help them get any further? Sometimes what happens, and this is the truth, I talk about this at the towards the end of the book, and we'll mention it at some point, where sometimes prospective customers go in this way, and then your company is going that way and provides solutions this way. It's just not a good fit. You can't help them. True leadership is understanding who you can help, who is going to be a part of your mission and your vision, who you can inspire and enroll into that path, and who you can, right? Being a good leader, being a true leader, being a sales professional isn't about convincing everybody to be on your mission and your vision. It's about getting the right people inspired and enrolled and moving forward. And so super important, apply that to your sales process, shift your mindset and see that your job, your duty is to be a leader of the prospect, of the process. And as much as possible to pull. Now, there are times when you have to be a manager. You have to step up. You have to manage the process, right? So you've got to kind of control things, keep things contained, keep things moving forward, just manage the little things, manage the admin, maybe manage the responses and how everything goes. There's always that, right? Like I said earlier, there's nobody in any role in an organization, a leadership role, where they're pure leaders, where they're just sitting, and not that I know of, where they're just sitting back, leading and inspiring people without managing any part of the business. There's always a balance. There's always both sides that you have to do. It's just that ratio. That's the key. In sales, you want to make that ratio as much leading as you can with as little managing as possible. Again, leading is pulling people across that finish line. Management and the classic sales model is pushing people across that finish line. And the challenge is when you push people across the finish line, once they get over the finish line and you've pushed them successfully, they look back and go, wait, I don't want to be here. I got pushed into this. Then the buyer's remorse, then the guilt, then the cancellations, the returns, the attempted refunds, all of those things come into play when you're doing more pushing than pulling. When you sell like a sales leader and you're a leader in that conversation, you're pulling people, those other parts don't happen as often. They will happen. And I'll talk about that at some point when we get to that session, but they won't happen as much and they won't be surprising because you'll know that you pulled people across. You inspired them and enrolled them into the mission towards that vision. So hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully you've got that down. Now let's talk about sales leadership and what makes up that leadership. And I call it the sales leadership triangle. It's in the book. It's pretty basic. It's got 3 points as a diagram, an example. And on those 3 points of the triangle is wisdom, empathy, and experience. A lot of people that I deal with say, well, I'm not a leader. I can't be a leader. I don't see myself as a leader. And this is what you want to focus on: wisdom, empathy, and experience. When you combine those three things and put those together, then you are a leader in my experience, and you can display leadership qualities and you can share that and inspire people as a leader when you combine those. Again, wisdom, empathy, and experience. Now, let's talk about wisdom first. Wisdom is the application of knowledge and information to a particular situation. That's how I view wisdom. Again, without getting into a technical Webster's dictionary, you know, definition of it, it is the application of knowledge and information to a situation. Having knowledge, having information is great. The challenge is that right now everybody has that. If you have something broken in your house or you need to do something on your car, you can go on YouTube and you can get watch a video on how to do it. The wisdom comes in is how do you apply that to your situation and what you need, right? Let's say you need to change a tire on your car. Well, watching a video on how to change a tire is good. That's knowledge and information. Wisdom is how do you do that for your type of car in your kind of situation? That's going to be more on the wisdom. That's about applying it to what you need. When you're a leader, especially of the sales conversation, especially of this transaction, and you're applying wisdom, it's about more than just knowledge and information. It's about taking that for the prospect situation and applying that to what they want, where they want to go. And I love this quote. I have it in the book. I'm not super great at quotes all the time, but this one sticks with me because I think it's a perfect example, especially of where salespeople go wrong and they just think one size fits all, or they think if I have knowledge and information, if I know the facts and figures, I can sell people because I can just spit out all of these things. And so the quote is from Miles Kington. And the quote is that knowing tomato is a fruit is important, but knowing not to put it in a fruit salad, that's wisdom, right? Yes, tomato is a fruit. Avocado is a fruit, technically. But knowing that you wouldn't put those things in a fruit salad, that's the key difference. And that is what people who want to follow a leader understand. They want it to be about them. They want to feel like it applies to them. In your sales process, that's what your prospects want. They want to know that you care about them and that you have wisdom that applies to their situation. Again, not just facts and figures, features and benefits, whatever's written on the brochure, whatever your company told you that is important, but how do you apply it to them, which we're going to talk about in a later session. Empathy, on this leadership triangle, empathy, what is empathy? To me, empathy is caring about the other person and their benefit and remembering that they are different than you. I think that's a big key with that, right? It's not just understanding and caring about you as a human, but it's really also pulling ourselves and extracting ourselves from the fact that our default nature as humans is to think about ourselves and put ourselves at the center of the universe and put ourselves at the hero of every single story that occurs in our life, where we are the center and then everything else is outside. The challenge with that is that most people feel that way. Most people view themselves as the center of their own universe and the hero of their own story. If I think that way, I think I'm the center and the hero, and then you think you're the center and the hero, and I forget that you think that you're the center and the hero, and I don't treat you that way, then you won't feel like I care about you. Really effective, empathetic people who show that and make people feel that, not just help them feel it, but like make them feel, hey, I care about you, right? And that's a strong word, make them feel, is they're doing it in such a way which is, it's not about me, it's about you, right? Like I have my own stuff, I have my own stories, I have my own things, my own stuff going on, but that doesn't matter right now. What matters is you, and I care about you. And we know that difference. We all know what that's like, right? And again, this is a later session, but just to highlight here, just to plant that seed, we all know what that's like when you talk with someone. And as you're talking and sharing something, especially something that's important to you, right? Whether it's something that occurred or something you want help with, or something that is valuable or important that occurred in your life. And you can tell that that other person is just waiting for you to stop talking such that they can jump in and share what they want to share, probably about themselves, maybe to one-up you. You're talking about this, they're saying, oh yeah, that reminds me, like I also did this, right? And then they go off on this tangent. And in that moment, it feels like they don't care because again, they're just waiting to talk. And at some point, if you have enough of those experiences and you're aware of it, you'll just stop talking to those people. You'll stop sharing things because you'll feel like they don't care. They actually don't care. They're just tuning it out. And so that's super important versus times we've all had where you're talking to someone, you meet somebody, and literally as you're talking, they're absorbing and they're asking questions and they want to know more and they're digging deeper and they're listening and they care. And you can feel that, right? Leaders do that. Leaders and that leadership side that we all have and that we can all do and you can bring into these sales conversations is that function, right? It's that empathy. It's about, I care about you. I care about you in this situation more than I need to make sure you understand how important or special I am or what I've done that's similar. And instead, it's all about you. So again, we have wisdom, we have empathy, and then we have experience. To be an effective leader, you can't just be like, I have lots of knowledge and I know how to apply it and I care about you. Really effective leaders that people want to follow also have some experience. If I say, hey, I read a book about swimming and I know how we should do swimming, and which I know sounds silly, and I care about you as somebody who wants to know how to swim. And I'm like, I've never swam before, but let's go jump into the pool together. And I will lead you because, you know, I have the wisdom. I have the application of knowledge and experience or information. And I know how to do it. Most people are gonna be like, no, I'm good. I'll find somebody else. Because you also need to have that experience, whatever you're selling. Now, one of the big things to keep in mind, and this is where it can hang up some people who are new to sales or haven't sold before or are new with their company or with the product, is they might not have that experience. My guess, though, in what I've seen is that you have lots of experience in lots of different areas and lots of different ways that could be applied. And if you are missing that, right, if that triangle is missing the experience part and you don't have that, I will tell you, it will be difficult for you to be a leader. It will be difficult for you to lead your prospects and have them follow you towards that mission and vision because you don't have the experience. They won't trust you. They won't believe that you can do it. They won't feel safe following you without that experience. And if that's the case, that's okay. Figure it out. Find some experience, get a coach, get a mentor, get more training, understand your product. Go back to what I talked about in the first or second session, where it's about being curious and being persistent and understanding as much as you can about everything possible, such that you can gain that experience. I will tell you, until you have that experience, it will be tough. A lot of people try fake it till you make it as a strategy. That can work if you have some support. The challenge is most people will pick up on that. Most people will be worried and they can tell when it's not authentic, when you're just faking it, and that's difficult. And it's a tough loop because until you have the experience, people won't trust you. Until people trust you, you won't have the experience. So how do you get the experience? You're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to get a coach, a mentor, some training, resources, study, learn, figure it out. A lot of times, if you want to be effective at selling something, if you're a customer of that thing, it helps a lot as well. I'm not saying that's always the case, but if you have experienced it from the other side, you can bring that with you. Very, very effective new salespeople that I have seen and trained and dealt with were a customer or have used said service or product first. And then they can speak from that experience. They might not even have a lot of experience in sales, but they have a lot of experience of the product or service firsthand, which is very valuable because that's basically telling the customer and potential customer, I bought this, I survived, it worked well for me, you should do it too, right? And so that fills it in. So just remember that when it comes to the sales leadership triangle, we've got wisdom, empathy, and experience. And again, your goal with that wisdom or the leadership triangle is to make sure people know that you're leading them and you know that your goal is to help pull them across the finish line. So hopefully that part helps. I mean, that's a huge shift. A lot of times, even just yesterday, I was in a training session and I was thinking about it afterwards and the kind of questions that I got and thinking about the fact that what people, if they're stuck in order taker mode or want to know how to shift out of that, the key is to make that transformation and see themselves as a leader who's then pulling people. Instead of worrying about how they push people or trick people, how do you pull people? Now, this is a good segue and transition into the last part that I want to cover today, which is manipulation versus persuasion. Now, it's interesting how many times, especially as many podcasts I've been on and presentations I've given and training, where people have different definitions of things and where the words come in. Especially as we move into this next segment of the training where we're getting into the persuasion piece. Next week, we're going to start talking about actual persuasion to help you on the customer. And again, this is so far, this has been about you and not about them. So let's talk about manipulation and persuasion. Manipulation is all about, and I'm actually going to read this because I want to make sure that I cover this correctly. So manipulation, especially when we're talking about psychological manipulation, is a type of social influence that aims to change the behavior or perception of others through abusive, deceptive, or underhanded tactics. By advancing the interests of the manipulator, often at others' expense, such methods could be considered exploitative, abusive, devious, and deceptive. I'm not going to repeat that. I think you got the tone. I think we understand manipulation and how rough that is and how one-sided that is, right? So the goal with manipulation when somebody's using that is, I want what I want. I don't really care what happens to you. Right? I want what I want, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to go through you, with you. You're going to be a part of it. You're not. I don't really care. I'm manipulating you, right? And so that one's pretty clear. I think what's a good example, and this really cements that for people who aren't sure, is manipulation. Other definitions of manipulate, to manipulate, is in other context. So let's say to manipulate clay. So when I'm manipulating clay, what I'm doing is I have a lump of clay, I'm manipulating it, and I'm making it into the form I want it to be in. I don't really care what happens to it. I don't really care what the clay's opinion is. I want a coffee cup. I'm going to make a coffee cup. I don't really care. Doesn't matter. Same thing. Like if you look up manipulate as a definition in woodworking, dealing with stone, whatever, it's to manipulate. It's to take that thing, make it do what I want, independent of what it wants. So that's pretty clear. Now, persuasion is not as clear. And of course, I use persuasion in the book. I use it all the time. Some people argue and they don't like persuasion. They like influence. There's a lot of great influence books that are out there. I think sometimes it's splitting hairs. Sometimes it's just personal comfort zone. Sometimes it's experiences that people have and they feel like persuasion is dirty. Maybe influence is dirty. And that it doesn't matter. It's really about the intent. So the definition of persuasion, which again, I'm going to read, is to move by argument, entreaty, or expostulation to a belief, position, or course of action, right? And so that one isn't as clear. And so what's interesting is it doesn't say, I'm going to persuade you so that you can benefit and then I can benefit. It's just that I'm going to persuade you. I'm going to use an argument. I'm going to use some kind of strategy to get you to see a belief, to take a different position, or to take some kind of action. Now, for me, I focus on positive persuasion, right? Because if you listen to that definition, or if you look that up, it could go either way. I could persuade you to do something that's not beneficial to you, right? That's very clear that that's missing in the definition. There's no positive aspect. I focus on the positive. I focus on all of us in sales, in life, using our powers for good and not evil to persuade people to take a course of action that's going to benefit them and hopefully myself. Now, with that being said, like I said earlier, there are times where your prospective client needs to go this way. Your business or you or the service you offer is going this way. Doesn't make sense. You're still persuading them to go in their direction and not in your direction and not calling anybody else and going in the wrong direction with them either. And I think the key is understanding that, understanding what we don't want to do is manipulate. in the book, I cover all these different ways that manipulation happens, the reasons why they happen, like, dependence. I'm looking through the list: dependence, carelessness, loneliness, frugality, materialism, narcissism, altruism, where people just think everybody is good and everybody is okay, and then they fall for manipulation. And so the key is that what I want is for everyone to shift away from that, to see what manipulation looks like in a sales process and move away from that and use persuasion. And it's interesting, if you really look at the definition of manipulation and the strategies that are used in sales, manipulation also means price manipulation. Whenever you as a salesperson or as a company, and this stings a lot, companies don't like to hear this, it's true. It doesn't mean you have to stop. It just means you have to be aware of it. But when you do the, hey, if you sign up with me by Friday, I could give you this special deal. If you do the, hey, if you sign up by the end of the month or the end of the quarter or the end of the year, that's manipulation. You're trying to manipulate someone to take a course of action so that you can benefit in a timeline. And you're trying to do that, right? Hey, if I do this, then you'll do this, right? Because you're not persuading anymore. You're trying to manipulate them. You're trying to get them to go against what they wanted to do or force a different timeline, so that you can meet some kind of number, and then you'll give them some kind of discount or deal for that. You're manipulating them, which is, hey, if you do this now, I'll give you this. And that's manipulation, not persuasion. Again, not saying that's wrong, not saying you should stop, but the key is, and the problem with manipulation versus persuasion, especially with humans, is when you manipulate somebody and the magic wears off, when the spell wears off, when the slick lines are gone and somebody steps away from the transaction, having purchased something or signed up for something, right? And the money is exchanged and the contract signed or whatever happens, and they step away from it and all of that magic wears off. All of that thing that happened that got them to take action, when that wears off, that's when you will get that buyer's remorse. That's when they will feel regret. That's when they will feel manipulated. And we all know what that's like in our lives with buying something, right? We all know what it's like where after it is said and done and we walk away or whatever, at some point we look back and go, I was totally manipulated. I was totally tricked. I was totally pushed into this. I didn't necessarily want it and I fell for it, right? And I totally bought it and now I regret it and now I'm embarrassed and now I feel bad and now I'm angry and now I don't want to tell anybody or whatever that might be. And so the key is that will lead to those feelings. When you're persuaded, especially in the right way for you as a buyer, then that's on you, right? Then that's on you and your decisions and you know what you wanted, but you know, you've got to make sure that you feel good about it. And so that's the big difference. And that's why where I started today and where we're going long-term is about seeing yourself as a sales leader. It's about leading your prospect across the finish line. Again, my definition once again is to inspire and enroll people into a mission headed towards that vision, right? That finish line. When you're doing that with your prospects, you're persuading them, you're pulling them along. Classic sales model is based more on management and manipulation and control to push somebody across the finish line in that transaction, whether it's something they super want to do or not. It's about what you want and getting what you want. So hopefully that helps. Hopefully that sets that up. Next week, we will talk about sales. Now, I know we've talked a little bit about sales. Mostly it's been about you. Next week, we're going to talk about your prospects, your buyers, what gets in their way. We're going to start diving deep and it'll be some stuff that'll apply to you, but we're going to talk about them and the biggest thing that they're afraid of, what they're afraid of and why, and what you can do about it, which is obviously the key. Now, if you want to get a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, if you don't have a copy already, make sure to email me. It's just the easiest thing. I'll send you the link for the form for that. Just cover the cost of shipping. I will sign it. I will send it to you. Email me at jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. If you like these videos, if you like these training sessions, A, make sure to share them with people you know that are in sales. B, make sure to like them wherever you watch this at, either online, whether it's YouTube, LinkedIn, or Facebook, like it, That way other people will see it. Leave a comment, say hello. Even after the fact, if you're watching the replay, you can always put in a comment. You can always say hello. You can always ask a question and I get those notifications. If you're listening to this replay on the podcast, make sure to, obviously you downloaded it, but make sure to subscribe, make sure to share. That way you can help me on this mission I have of empowering over 1 million authentic persuaders out there in the world. And when we do that, it will make it easier for all of us to be in sales because consumers will start to see it as a profession that they know and they trust and they want help from instead of something that is seen as a dirty word and that they're afraid of and that they don't want to be a part of. So make sure to support me on that, spread the word, get this out there, whatever you can do, and apply this. Take this information each week, apply this to your selling process, to your conversations, to yourself, to your life. And remember, everything in life is sales. So even if you're not in a sales role or you think this might apply only to these 8-10 hours of the day when you're in sales, it applies everywhere. It applies no matter what. Even if you're trying to get your significant other or your friend to agree on your restaurant or your movie, or you need to do this, or you're at the store and you need somebody to help you out, it's all sales. It's all persuasion. Everything in life is sales. So don't forget that. And appreciate you joining, tuning in, and thank you. And I will see you next week.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion Weekly Live Training Session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.